world is becoming more unglued by the day. Local consequences are now showing up. We are seeing sky-high gas prices, higher food prices, shortages, and more. How should you respond? Go to redpills.tv/patriot. That's redpills.tv/patriot. And secure your long-term emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is by far the largest preparedness company in America. They're in stock and shipping quickly in unmarked boxes to your door. Their emergency food supplies last up to 25 years in storage. When you need it, it'll be there. Lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Get free shipping on any order over $99. Again, go to redpills.tv/patriot. The global financial system is on the verge of collapse. Here in the United States of America, we have rising inflation, rising cost of goods and services from gas to food. We have supply chain disruptions, and we have the incompetent presidency of the United States of America running the U.S. dollar into the ground by debasing it by radicalized spending and printing. There is only one thing in this world right now that is a worthy investment that has been the hedge for inflation year after year. Guys, that's gold and silver. Look, I invest in gold and silver, and there's no reason why you should not either. My buddy, Dr. Kirk Elliott, is an economist and financial advisor, and he is amazing at what he does by helping you get your 401ks, your IRAs, or just helping you purchase gold and silver bullion. You can give him a call at 720-605-3900 or go to getgoldtoday.com and let him know that Josh from the Red Pill Project sent you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to everybody's favorite new show on the Red Pill Project, Morning Coffee with Vince and Andrea. This is the show where we bring you the news in the morning, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Replays available right after this on BitChute, Clout Hub. Where do we stream? Rumble, etc. If you watch later. Also available wherever you get your audio podcasts, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and pleasure to be here with you again this morning.
Yes. It is Monday.
Yeah. Andrea, go ahead. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Sorry, I just hijacked everything from you.
Take it away.
Threw you all off.
Take it away.
Well, I hope everybody had a good Mother's Day, and we're calling it Mother's Day, not Birthing Person's Day, because for one, am not a birthing person. I've never given birth. I will never give birth. I am not a birthing person, yet I am a mother.
Hey, so. Touche.
Exactly.
Yeah, what a weekend. What a weekend.
It was crazy.
Yeah, you know, the unfolding global conspiracy never sleeps.
Nope, it doesn't.
It really just chugged along as we all tried to take a break and relax with our families and friends. And here we are. It's Monday already.
Yep.
May 9th.
And we are back.
We're back. We're ready to go. Hope you all are doing well. See you're all shuffling in there to the live chats. We appreciate it. Good morning, Square Body. Good morning. Good morning. Big Mamu donated 117 gold pills this morning. Thank you so much, Big Mamu. Good to see you. All of you over there at Foxhole, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
And of course, our DLive family. DLivers. There's some stiff competition between these streams, I hear.
There is.
Especially on the Daily Dose. Y'all are wild.
Yeah, you're insane.
Wow. And Ray is tuning in on Facebook from the Netherlands. Hey, Ray. Welcome.
Good morning, Ray. From the Netherlands, we hope everything is well across the ocean.
Absolutely.
Or as well as can be expected anywhere in the world right now.
Yeah, we're just enjoying our hot drinks here across the pond. So hope you all are ready and got your coffee or whatever you're drinking on, because we're going to jump into the news, and we always start off with finance. And then we'll jump into everything else. U.S. news, world news, health news, etc. You know, there's a lot of different categories of news. Those are the main ones that we like to hit for y'all in the morning, let you know what's going on.
Yep.
So, I mean, what do you say we jump into it?
Let's do it. Do it.
Absolutely. And, well, just before we do, make sure you hit those rumbles and the likes on Facebook and the shares and everything you could do. That is the best way to support everything we do at the Red Pill Project. We greatly appreciate it. If you do decide to donate in one of our live chats, we will prioritize reading those comments for you. So we do appreciate that. That is a huge way to support us as well. And let's jump into it. Let's get newsy up in here. All right. Finance. Not looking too hot. Another terrible day. Terrible day, as we all probably could expect.
Hey, Vince.
Yeah, what?
Your microphone is doing something weird.
Sorry. How's that?
It's echoing. I don't know if everybody else is hearing it, but I sure am.
Testing. Give me one moment here. Testing.
Go to redpills.
Hold on a second. Let me test this. It sounds good on my end.
Oh, yeah. It is echoing.
I think
maybe
I'm okay.
Everyone in the chat can let us know.
Yeah, in the chat, let us know how I sound with a 5.5. It is good. Let me know how my sound is, please, and I'm going to continue on while you all do that. 5.5, okay. They're okay.
It's like I'm getting feedback from somewhere. I don't know.
Interesting. I think I might know what it is, and I can't fix it right now. Okay. Bear with me. I hope it's not unbearable.
We'll deal with it. Go for it.
Okay. Maybe I don't know. I don't know what it is. We'll have to figure it out after this. Anyway, the S&P 500 is down 2.5%. The Dow is down 1.6%. NASDAQ is down 3.4%. Crude is down 4.6% at $104, which I guess that's one good thing today. Well, still very high, but lower. Gold is down 1%. Silver's down 2.5%. Silver is $21.82. What a sale. Andrea, yeah. You there?
I am. That is crazy. I would definitely be buying silver right now, mm-hmm. if you can. Because 21.80, I think it may dip a little lower, but I don't think it's going to get a whole lot lower. And that's the lowest it's been for a while.
It is the lowest it's been for a while. I consider it to be a wonderful sale. Definitely, if you are the investing type, allocate some for silver because it's a great commodity to have. If you guys watch the Daily Dose, then you know on Wednesdays we have Dr. Kirk Elliott with Joshua Reed. They talk all about the financial scenario happening globally and kind of where we sit with silver as a commodity. And I agree with Dr. Kirk 100% on his analysis of this. And definitely one of my favorite Daily Dose days with Kirk Elliott, I have to say. And actually, one of our sponsors is Dr. Kirk Elliott, getgoldtoday.com. If you guys are interested, you can go through him, Dr. Kirk Elliott at getgoldtoday.com. And that not only helps you prepare financially for the future and diversify your savings / portfolio, but also helps the Red Pill Project prosper. You know, by doing that, you're supporting yourself and you're supporting decentralized news and media. So check it out or tune in Wednesday and learn more. And we hope to see you there. Definitely a good opportunity there. And same thing here. I feel the same way about maybe not necessarily Bitcoin, but crypto in general. Bitcoin is down over 5% this morning at $32,230.
Wow.
Absolutely craziness.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to dip below 35 too much. You know, I thought maybe a little bit, but it's really coming down.
It's really coming down hard, which, yeah. Look, here's like a one-year chart. It hasn't been this low since July 21, 2021.
Wow.
And to me, this just indicates if you're an investor in cryptocurrency that you're getting it at a cheaper price today.
Right, exactly. So buy it up, even though I'm not a Bitcoin fan, but the other cryptocurrencies tend to follow the trend of Bitcoin. So everything is on sale today, I'm sure, minus maybe a few here and there.
Yeah, and I have a feeling it's going to continue in this trend. Yeah, that's just my guess. Onward here, we've got Germany's top banking chief warns of bankruptcy tsunami amid stagflation threats. Quote, the energy supply in Germany is at risk. Supply chains are breaking down. We have high inflation, said Commerzbank chief executive officer Manfred Knopf, who German newspaper Handelsblatt recently quoted. The threat of stagflation in Germany is elevated as soaring energy prices increase inflation and wreak havoc on business. Germany could experience a downturn if an embargo on Russian fossil fuels, such as natural gas, crude, and coal, is enforced. And Russia's enforcing it. Newsflash.
Isn't that crazy? It's, yep. We're going to start seeing that more and more here, too.
Yep.
You know, they're just not reporting on it.
It's... They're definitely with the rising covering it
food
up
costs
here.
And rising energy costs, and it's a disaster, and it's a global. We're seeing that it's a global disaster. It's not just Germany. It's not just the United States. It's a global problem.
Definitely,
and we're about to see something really big.
Yeah, I really think this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
All right, just to push on through our finance stories here to move to the fun stuff. Recession watch heats up as Fed moves to tamp down inflation. And I wanted to go down here a little bit. Inflation is getting worse and in turn zapping consumer purchasing power. And by getting worse, I mean growth rates are accelerating and touching fresh highs for companies. Moreover, the executives getting paid big bucks to protect when inflation may top out, to project when inflation may top out, have no visibility into when it may happen. Like I said, I think it's just getting bad right now. Here's the consumer price rise chart showing that we've risen the most since 1981, which is 1981 is this big spike on the left next to its friend here in 75. We are on a vertical increase. So who knows how high it'll go. It's not topped out yet. And I think it is probably piss poor data. So we'll see.
I would say it's probably going to look much like the 70s, in between the 70s and the 80s right there. So yep.
We just don't know how.
And possibly even higher. Now, when... So I wanted to say that, but I think we're probably already there, quite honestly.
What?
I just think that the numbers I think the numbers are so manipulated that you're not seeing it.
Oh, you think we're that bad already? Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I would say we're that bad, if not worse, because, I mean, in the early 80s, I was very little. But, you know, I think that things definitely seem much worse now than what I've heard my parents talking about. I guess I can say that.
Yeah, and I've heard somebody ask their grandfather how this compared to the 70s. Mm-hmm. And the response was, it was bad, but it's a different kind of bad. Now is a little bit worse in a way, and different dynamic situation for sure.
Right. Well, and you know, I think back then too, when people were looking at a recession and doing things and having to go through that,
yeah,
there was this expectation that things were going to get back to normal, right? And that people were going to recover from it. And now with the uncertainty of everything, we don't have that stability that we had back then. So I think that adds another level or layer to kind of what we're going through.
Yeah, I agree. So. Interesting. We live in very interesting times. Mm-hmm. What a blessing. Or a curse.
I was going to say, it depends on how you look at it, I suppose. I'm not sure that. Oh. So you may want to skip the next one for right now because there's a pretty graphic in the Twitter thing.
Oh, really?
There's a pretty graphic comment that I don't think we're going to want to show everyone.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll skip that and come back to it. I'll check it and make sure once that comment is...
It's the Twitter one, right?
Yes.
All right, well, I have one just before that. Stock market may look volatile, but the S&P 500 has seen worse, much worse. This is by Barrons.com. They're just trying to ease the markets here. The stock market's getting jittery in 2022 as investors try to figure out where the economy and corporate earnings will go amid higher interest rates, record inflation, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and China's COVID lockdowns. Consider this. So far this year, one of every six trading days has closed with a gain or loss of 2% or more for the S&P 500. Look, one out of every six trading days has closed with a gain or loss of 2% or more for the S&P 500.
That seems really manipulated.
Right, a loss or gain. So the fact of the matter is, and I thought I had data on this, maybe not, but a 2% loss in a single day is a rare occurrence in the stock market that we've seen more this year than we see typically in most years or in the last few years. It's been basically the markets have been more volatile than they typically would be in other circumstances. So I'll skip the Twitter POTUS thing.
Yeah, you can try going back to it, but I would refresh right away just in case what popped up on yours.
I'll just skip it. I don't want any nasty
stuff. Yeah.
So let's move on to U.S. news. You want to take this next one, Ghislaine?
Sure.
Or I'm sorry, not calling you Ghislaine. Do you want to take this next one about Ghislaine?
Andrea? I am definitely not in prison. I can tell you that. At least not yet. I mean, it depends on, you know, how far this free speech thing goes. Ghislaine Maxwell's sentence reduced. Judge points to repetitive nature of guilty counts. Imagine that. You know, you commit multiple crimes that are the same type of crime. You're likely to end up with multiple counts of the same crime, which is repetitive. I kind of, after reading the article, kind of makes sense. Not really. But after losing her fight to have her convictions overturned, she did end up getting 10 years knocked off of her potential maximum sentence. No, keep in mind, it says potential maximum sentence because she actually hasn't been sentenced yet. But they finally have given her access to human company, apparently.
Ooh.
But the judge's basis for this, let me see if I can find it in here. It says, in the ruling, however, U.S. District Court Judge Allison Nathan made it clear that Maxwell's attempt to have all the guilty verdicts. Oh, excuse me. On April 29th, the federal judge who turned down Maxwell's bid to have her convictions overturned also tossed two of the three conspiracy convictions against her, ruling that they were repetitive. That reduced her potential prison time by 10 years. It says, further, those counts of conviction matched the core of criminality charged in the indictment presented by the government at trial on which the jury was accurately instructed.
Yeah.
So basically what they're saying is even though she committed multiple crimes with, far as the trafficking goes, the conspiracy charge, so it was the same conspiracy. So they weren't it wasn't a different conspiracy. So like the intent behind that part of it was the same. So it was the same conspiracy with multiple victims.
So they reduced I'm just going to summarize. They reduced her sentence based on kind of semantics of the case.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's how the law is written and stuff. You know, and it really is open to interpretation to the judge on how the judge decides to interpret that law. This particular judge decided to view it as the same conspiracy. And she's not really wrong. I mean,
it's debatable.
It really is. I mean, in my opinion, each crime for each victim deserves its own charge, conspiracy or otherwise.
Yeah, and I think the larger scope of this whole Ghislaine conspiracy needs to be uncovered as far as who she was trafficking to and all that, of course.
Right. So it's really a conspiracy charge, and I don't know how much... Obviously, it's, I don't know how many, so they dropped two out of the three. So each of those is about 4 or 5 years. So,
this is,
I mean, she's 60 years old and she's still looking at serving 45 years potentially. Now, will she? Most likely not. When they sentence her, they'll probably sentence her to 10 and then give her, you know, time served and good behavior and she'll be out in like 8 months.
Or she'll get Epstein'd.
Right.
McDav said, must have been the judge she got some alone time with.
It's possible. I think they reported that it was her brother or her husband. I don't know who it was.
Okay.
Maybe
yeah, or a pardon.
Right.
Could you imagine? Holy smokes.
So you're sharing your sound with me. That's why I'm getting echo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I figured it out.
Can I fix it?
If you stop sharing your sound.
Okay.
It's a shared sound.
There we go. So how's that?
Oh, perfect.
Such BS. Latest Star Trek spinoff suggests World War III started with January 6th protests in D.C.
There's a video that kind of just explains it all.
I saw this morning and I was like, uh-oh. The bullshit from the state-run media never stops. The latest Star Trek spinoff suggests World War III started with the protests on January 6th. All of those protesters challenging the stolen election are the root cause of World War III, not the dangerous dementia patient in the White House. Here we go. I need to share my sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something went wrong. It's a lot like your world today. Recently, I was treated to a glimpse of my future. It was not all I'd hoped. After all, what good is there in knowing your future? A friend of mine asked me that recently and didn't understand what he meant. Until now. I've seen my future. Let me show you yours. Our conflict also started with a fight for freedoms. We called it the Second Civil War, then the Eugenics War, and finally, just World War III. This was our last day. The day the Earth we knew ceased to exist. What began as an eruption in one nation ended in the eradication of 600,000 species of animals and plants and 30% of Earth's population. Global suicide. What we gave you is the means to exterminate yourselves. And from the looks of you, you're gonna do it. You'll use competing ideas of liberty to bomb each other to rubble just like we did. And then your last day will look just like this. Perhaps somewhere all your ends are written as indelibly as mine. But I choose to believe that your destinies are still your own. Maybe that's why I'm here. To remind you of the power of possibility. Maybe that's the good in seeing my future, that I might remind you that right up until the very end, life is to be worn gloriously. Because until our last moment, the future is what we make it.
Wow. Notice... one of the things that they put in there that was part of this whole end scenario was eugenics.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Eugenics.
This is not a show that I will be watching. And, you know, it's funny because I'm not like a huge Star Trek fan, but I always liked their shows. I thought they were entertaining and stuff. Yeah. This is not what I will be watching.
Me either.
And because I am not going to... continue giving these people my consent. And that's just it. That's my red line, I guess, is I'm not going to watch their propaganda bullshit. I'm done.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely careful with where I'm putting my attention and my money as well.
Exactly.
there's so much propaganda built into all these programs, and all the mainstream ones that everybody uses are the worst ones. Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, Disney, you name it.
And they sneak it in there. You know, you'll be watching a show that you've seen, you know, 100 times, and then all of a sudden they'll be like, they'll bring something up regarding climate change, and you're like, this isn't even relevant. Why are they but they throw it in there because it's predictive programming. And they have to. They have to get people used to hearing these terms and numb to the propaganda. And so it becomes just normal in nature.
Absolutely. All right, onward here.
So here is what's next. True the Vote is going to pull the ripcord. They're releasing all of their data. Organize your teams today and donate to True the Vote, is what the article says. So I do think people need to start getting more involved, though, and doing their part. The virtual premiere for the movie 2000 Mules was held last night live from Las Vegas. We are, most of us watched the, well, probably not most of us. There was a lot of us that watched it on Zoom the other night. We had a watch party on the Red Pill. And it says, in the film, Dinesh D'Souza and True the Vote provided answers and evidence on the stolen 2020 election. The explosive documentary was released on Tuesday at select theaters across the nation. If you didn't catch it live on the Zoom through the Red Pill, I definitely recommend going out and watching it. It is great. It lays it all out. It throws the numbers and the facts and the figures. And the scary and sad part about it is that the numbers that they used were extremely conservative. So they only looked at just a small portion, which is the, you know, the biggest portion of things, using really conservative numbers. And it was enough to blow it away. Even just using their conservative numbers and looking at a small portion of it, the determination that they came up with was that Trump would have won with 305 electoral votes.
Yeah.
It says that does not even count all of the other fraud that occurred during the election, like these mysterious ballot drops at 3 a.m. or the questionable voting machines. So they just looked at the drop boxes, the ballot drop boxes and the mules that were trafficking ballots and stuff. And they only looked at the six key states. They didn't even look at all of the states. Like, I know for a fact there was voter fraud in here in Montana.
Yeah.
I guarantee you there was in Oregon. Like, every that state. Whole state is nothing but fraud.
I guarantee
I'm sure Washington was the same.
Absolutely. Every single state. Just think about it this way. I didn't want to even go vote because of Antifa here in Washington state, because they're there. Especially in Seattle. I think that was part of their plan with all of the social unrest was, oh, they're not going to want to go to the polling places. They're going to vote from home with their mail-in ballots. We could just scam them and steal the election. I think they worked hard to get people not to vote by going in person.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And, you know, I suspect that if you really added it all up, if you took all of the fraud that was perpetrated across the whole U.S., and use the accurate numbers, I think that you'd find that Trump probably won with over 400 electoral votes.
Who knows? Possibly.
Yeah. So that would be my guess. I think it's probably closer to that 400 mark. Definitely well over the 305 and certainly over the 270 that's required to win. So definitely watch the movie, get ready, you know, get involved, go to True the Vote and find out what they're doing and how you can help, you know, even if just helping is just donating to them. And it's hard because there's a lot of places that are asking for donations for a lot of different things. And our budgets are all crunched. Mine is.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, though, after seeing this Mules documentary, are going to be kind of reinvigorated. And I think we're going to see some action across the states because it's obvious. There's no questions about it that this was a stolen election and that we're living under essentially a dictatorship right now.
Yeah.
And that something needs to be done. This could be the beginning of the end for them, really.
I sure hope so.
I hope so, too. Everybody knows. It's, you know, at least 80, 90% of people, I'd say.
Yeah, and it's really going to be up to those states.
Yeah.
And, you know, to overturn and decertify their elections. You know, and if they don't... People need to do something. And I don't mean violently. But you need to call your representatives. You need to call your legislatures. And you call your sheriff and have them investigate this stuff.
Absolutely. That's really what we need is support from all angles in society, from top to bottom, because that's where the breakdown occurs. We have to basically change everything to be moral and better in order for it to work, and that means everybody has to do their job properly, and if they're not, then replace them with somebody that will.
Yeah, 100%.
Which, to me, I feel like everything needs to be flushed out and replaced.
And a lot of it does fall on the shoulders of the sheriffs, because they are elected officials. You know, if your legislators won't do anything about the fraud that's happened, then your sheriff needs to be doing something about it. And your sheriff has the authority, they have the authority to arrest those people for committing crimes and covering up crimes. And at the very least, they should be hit with conspiracy charges. At the very least. But
yeah. And then, yeah. For sure. I think people will get more involved this year.
Yeah, I think so.
The FBI is trying to fire agents who attended January 6th rally. Interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
House of Republican lawmakers say that whistleblowers have come forward to allege that the FBI is trying to terminate bureau employees who were present at a rally on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. Quote, the employees did not enter the U.S. Capitol and have not been charged with any crime, but are allegedly still being fired, the House Judiciary GOP wrote in a Twitter post on May 6th, citing unnamed whistleblowers at the Bureau. In a letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray, Republicans confirmed reports that the Department of Justice's Inspector General's office was considering investigating whether the FBI revoked the security clearances of agents who attended the rally last year. Republicans in previous letters had argued that revoking their security passes essentially forces them out of a job because clearances needed to work at the FBI. This is really interesting. I think they're trying to cover their asses.
Yeah.
They're
being very partisan in all of this, but I think that they are. I think that's exactly what they're trying to do, is that these people have access to information that could blow the lid wide open on this stuff, and they need to get rid of them. And I hope these people fight back like they are doing and continue to fight back against this corrupt government. And, you know, they don't deserve to lose their jobs over something like this.
I think that they were in a conspiracy to set up the people at this rally for this so-called insurrection. Yeah. I think that was their mission. I think that's what they sought to do. And I think that's why they're getting fired. So the FBI could say they went rogue. We had nothing to know. We didn't know anything about it. And this just goes to show these people that are working with these crooks and criminals and these mafioso type government agencies,
yeah,
you're being used. Not, I mean, obviously, I don't think any of you, I'm just saying, they're not listening. But, well, FBI Jim, all right, one FBI agent's listening. But other than that, I'm just talking to these corrupt people that think like, oh, I'm going to make 10 grand this year during this election season by committing crimes and fraud and this kind of thing. Look, these people aren't your friends. The first opportunity they get, they're going to throw you under the bus and protect their asses. And you see, I think that's what we're seeing right here in the FBI right now.
Well, and they have a saying for that too. Shit rolls downhill.
Yep.
And the person at the bottom gets buried in it. So, you know, if you're that low man on the totem pole, it's like all of these people who committed the election fraud.
Yep.
They're going to get hammered. They're going to get nailed. And all we can do is hope that they speak up, you know, to get the bigger guys.
Yep, they follow the money of Soros and everyone else who is putting money up. to support all this crime.
Unless something big happens, though, the people at the top are going to walk away from it. It's the way that it always works. So,
yeah.
Unless something big happens, which it has potential to.
Oh, I think big shit's happening. We'll see.
Yeah. So, McConnell, nationwide ban on abortion is possible. So, he's basically saying that if Roe versus Wade gets overturned, like they suspect that it will, that there's the potential that, you know, there could be a nationwide ban on abortions.
How?
This is more propaganda is the problem. They're doing this to pour fuel on the fire, because what he's saying is he's basically coming out and saying that if Roe versus Wade gets overturned, it goes back to the states, right? And yeah. The state then decides
yes.
whether the state wants abortion to be legal or illegal or fall somewhere in the middle of that. He's saying that there's the potential that all 50 states could ban abortions. Theoretically, sure. Is that likely? No. Washington, Oregon, California, New York, those states are not going to ban abortions. I'm sorry. It doesn't ban abortions federally. It doesn't. It basically just says that we're not going to take a stand. We're not going to protect your right to an abortion if your state decides to make it illegal.
Yeah, it's a state.
That's all this is. There's nothing constitutionally that says that you have a right to have an abortion. That's up to states. Like,
yeah.
The way the federal government works is they set the minimum standards for laws and stuff. And then what states can do is states can't create laws that are less than the federal government, but they can create laws that are greater than the federal government.
Yeah, the federal government's not there to control every little piece of your life.
They're not supposed to be.
That's what the 10th Amendment is there for. And
yes, states are supposed to be sovereign, which is what makes us a republic versus a democracy. A democracy is run by big government, it's run by the federal government. In a republic, like the way that ours is set up, was meant to be run by states. They're basically sovereign nation states that have an oversight committee, if you want to look at it that way, is what the federal government is supposed to be, to make sure that the states, in their sovereignty, are treating their citizens fairly. That's really all it was meant to be.
Yeah.
And they think they have this power, and they don't.
Yeah, and I think Roe versus Wade is unconstitutional to begin with. It should go to the states. And mm-hmm. Okay, it's really unlikely that every state will say that you can't have abortions. Very, very, very unlikely. And if it were a federal thing, that would also be unconstitutional. I don't see it even going through and happening.
Yeah. And the thing about it is if you live in a state that decides that they're going to make abortion illegal, and it really means that much to you, move to a different state where it's illegal.
Legal. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they act like this is going to be, you know, wiped out across the board, gone, and it's not. And I am pro-life.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think that is?
It's one of those things that I'm not going to have an abortion.
You know what I think why they want abortions in every state is because they want that scam.
You do.
They want that revenue source, and they want that business in every state.
Well, and the federal government wants to federalize it, and they want to make taxpayers pay for it because it's another money laundering scheme.
It is.
I mean, that's really what it boils down to, is that they want to take our tax money to pay for other people's abortions, but they're going to take that money and they're going to launder it just like they do with mm-hmm. every other federalized program out there.
And terrible stuff happens with these aborted humans. Body parts are sold, all this kind of just ungodly stuff.
It's a racket.
So this is a drama filled topic, but
and what they're trying to do is create this.
Absolutely, and they've done it. They've incited violence. Apparently, it seems. This attack fails to frighten us. Pro-life group's office was set on fire. Here's a picture. Windows broken out and boarded up. We see some garbage, trash, tables, the chair overturned. Wow.
This was all done by that Ruth Sent Us group.
Ruth Sent Us. The office of Pro-Life Group was set on fire over the weekend in what police are describing as a targeted attack. No kidding. A fire was set at the Wisconsin Family Actions office in Madison, police officials confirmed. A Molotov cocktail was hurled inside the building, the Madison Police Department said in an incident report, though the cocktail did not ignite. It also appears a separate fire was started in response. This is insanity. I'm hoping nobody was in that building. Firefighters quickly doused the flames. The incident took place shortly after 6 a.m. on May 8th. Wow, how nice. They did it on Mother's Day.
Yep.
It appears a specific nonprofit that supports anti-abortion measures was targeted, Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes said in a statement. They also said, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either in spray paint on the side of a building. If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either. This is a direct threat towards people.
And it was done by an anarchist group called Anarchy 1312. They're the ones that took credit for what happened.
Wow. They go on to see that Americans are seeing through the hypocrisy of the left and whatnot.
This is the beginning of another summer of love, just so everybody knows. This is going to continue, and this is what they want to do. They did it right before the 2020 election. They're going to do it right before the 2022 midterms, and we need to stand strong and not let them intimidate us.
Yeah, it's really strange. And this reminds me of the Molotov cocktail thing. There was a lot of Molotov talk going around with the Azov battalion and this Ukraine war. And I saw people say, like on Twitter, like, here's instructions for my Ukrainians out there, how to build Molotovs. If you see any Russians, get them, like this kind of stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And then like rows of Molotov cocktails. We're ready. All this kind of stuff. I was on Facebook the other day, and this reminds me, because you know how they're putting tampons in boys' bathrooms now in some some schools?
Oh.
These anarchists and the terrorists, essentially, that are doing these kinds of attacks on our infrastructure and people that they disagree with, they use tampons in their construction of their weapons.
You're right, because it's got a great wick on it, and they're very absorbent and can hold a lot of flammable fluid.
So right. I think that the reason why they're putting tampons in boys' bathrooms is so that boys could just get a shitload of tampons for free.
Yep. Wow. I never even thought about that, but you're right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
I know. It doesn't. I mean, come on.
Right,
disguised. What better disguise than
something? Oh, we're being inclusive of everybody, because boys can have periods too.
Yeah, and if you don't agree, you're a bigot. It's like, no, I'm trying to just make sure everybody is having the best opportunity in their community they can, and giving boys ingredients for destructive weapons isn't something I want to do, especially when the logic behind it is retarded.
Yeah. Exactly. But science. But my science.
Dude, I just thought I'd mention that. It's been Stu, and I've been making the connection here for a week or two.
That's a really good connection. Good job on that.
Thank you.
So we have 20 attorney generals demand that Mayorkas disband disinformation board and threaten a lawsuit. 20 states attorney generals are demanding the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas immediately disband the agency's newly created disinformation governance board. Excuse me, I got allergies. And cease all efforts to police Americans' protected speech. Of those, this is the list of the attorneys, or the states, excuse me, from Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia. So good job to those states. I am proud to live in one of them. Our attorney general is a rock star. Not real thrilled with the rest of my politicians, but our attorney general, he's young and he's a go-getter and he's very conservative. Mm-hmm. And he knows his shit. So everything that I'm seeing, I'm really happy with it.
Good. Hopefully we see more of that.
It sounds like we've got some other attorney generals. And it seems to me that it's the same attorney generals who are suing the federal government over and over and over again. So that's a good thing.
Cool. Yeah, they definitely should disband that disinformation board.
Yes.
Power grid operators warn of potential electricity shortages amid transition to clean energy. Imagine that already. Power grid operators from across the U.S. have warned that they are struggling to keep up with the demand for electricity as they attempt to transition to cleaner energy sources, meaning that some parts of the country could see blackouts during the summer. Absolutely.
Yep, get ready for it.
I'm concerned about it. Mid-Continent Independent Systems Operator Chief Executive John Baer told the Wall Street Journal on Sunday, quote, as we move forward, we need to know that when you put a solar panel or wind turbine up, it is not the same as a thermal resource. California 100%. State Grid Operator told Wall Street Journal on Friday that it expects to see a shortfall in supplies this summer, driven by extreme heat, wildfires, and delays in bringing new power sources online.
This is going to be a catastrophe.
It so is. So is.
And you're going to feel it everywhere, especially down in the southern states that are close to California, because they all share, and a lot of the stuff, a lot of their energy comes from hydroelectric, so water. Mm-hmm. And with record, they're already talking about record-setting droughts in California again this year. And if they're going to stop doing that and try to use more of this clean energy, it's going to be a disaster.
And they're going to blame it on climate change and say that it's your guys' fault you don't have energy.
We should have done something about this a long time ago.
Be thankful you have 4 hours of energy a day or whatever, right. Whatever restrictions they put on us, or if it's just we don't have any, make sure you're prepared. Make sure you have light sources for nighttime. Heat sources, especially for wintertime, but during summertime, make sure you have water and ways to stay cool without electricity.
Yeah. Well, and you know, here's the sad part too, is I think a lot of people saw this coming and they're like, oh, they went out and bought generators, right? Well, now look at what we're facing. Diesel shortages, gasoline prices are skyrocketing. They're trying to get away from that. Mm-hmm. We could have gasoline shortages. How are people going to run their generators?
Definitely.
If they don't have fuel.
Consider getting a gas and propane generator if you can, if you don't have one.
You can actually switch them over. There's a kit that you can purchase if you know how to do that kind of stuff. Where you can switch it from gas to propane.
Converting system. Very interesting. Also, if you guys didn't know, propane stores a lot longer than gas does without having to treat it or anything. So,
because it's pressurized in a tank.
Yeah.
And not just open to the air. And stuff. Definitely. Gas will go bad after a couple months and stuff.
Definitely bad gas. It's definitely my preference. Propane lasts a lot longer.
Yep.
So something to consider. Also, I'm a big fan of just the old school candles. May have heard of them. Good for nighttime darkness.
I got lots of those. I'm a girl. my husband's like, why do we need all these candles? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to keep them. And I'm like, why do you need all those screws? And he's like, they might come in handy someday. We each balance each other out. Okay, we'll be thankful we have all the candles shortly.
Well, it's not a thing of I love candles. It's a... I live in a community with a lot of big trees, and so my power goes out all the time, and I need light. So I also have flashlights and all these things, but I'd rather burn a candle than waste batteries.
Candles don't take batteries, yes. Yeah. So unless you get those stupid ones from Walmart.
Which, hey, if that's all you got, it'll work in a pinch.
Right.
Yeah, and also make sure you do your candle safety, all right? You don't want to burn yourself or burn anything.
Yeah.
Get extra batteries, yeah, of course. Onward here.
This is not, shouldn't be any surprise, even though it's a surprise. Leadership at Joe Biden's Disinformation Governance Board has ties to George Soros. So, a gal by the name of, what is her name?
Jennifer?
Somewhere.
Jennifer Duskall?
Yeah. Yes, her. So she, Jennifer Duskall, yes. She's got three close ties to George Soros. She worked as a senior counterterrorism counsel for the Anti-Semitic Human Rights Watch Group, which received over $32 billion from Soros between 2000 and 2014. Soros also gave over $600,000 to the Just Security blog, where she worked as a founding editor. And now she is going to be sitting on the Disinformation Governance Board. And I was trying to find the other one. The Just Security claimed the Biden administration is the answer to peace and freedom. She'll be a part for a group that's responsible for stripping people of their freedom of speech. So anyway, she's tied to George Soros. This really shouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, I think everybody in that administration is tied to George Soros in some form or fashion.
Seriously, wow.
So not really any surprise, but found it interesting, the connection there.
Hopefully they're stopped.
Yep.
We're at war. So, oh, yeah. You want to take this one? Go ahead. Please, please.
Yeah. I read this morning, and I thought it was really important and wanted to share it. I don't usually sit here and read the whole entire article to you, and I will try to read fast because I know we're running out of time. Well, we're not running out of time, but so we don't keep everyone all day. We are at war already. We are at war. We are not getting ready for war, and it is not imminent. Your government is at war against you. This war is going on now, and you need to understand that we are in an unusual place in recorded history. The current ruling world empire, the United States and its ally, Western Europe, is dying. As all dying empires do, we are seeing the powers to be try to retain its control domestically and internationally through an increased use of brute force. Empires come and go. We see it working out in the Ukraine currently. We see it in America domestically. We're in a non-kinetic civil war in the United States now. You are in a war here at home. Ukraine is a distraction from what is happening within American borders. I use that term borders loosely here. The civil war at home has moved into a new phase. For at least 30 years, we have seen a chipping away of citizens' freedoms by actions of our elected and unelected officials. The gloves came off when Trump was elected. That completely caught them off guard as they were about to drop the Fowler's net on the American people. Trump was a speed bump on that trajectory. The U.S. government is now openly at war against its own people. The election, quote, of Joe Biden was an open declaration of war. The current open U.S. border is another obvious example. Borders, if nothing else, are lines of demarcation. We see a nationwide attempt to blur everything, not just borders. We see corrupt federal law enforcement agencies going after parents at school board meetings. We see mainstream media with the support of unnamed sources changing the media from being biased to out-and-out propagandists. Meanwhile, freedom of speech is being suppressed in alternative media. We see free speech being stifled everywhere, especially in college campuses where the new leaders are being indoctrinated. We see junk science used to control the whole country and the overhyped COVID flu, so-called pandemic, where U.S. citizens were murdered in facilities, others killed as a result of drugs and suicide from smothering depression and hopelessness. We see orchestrated business failings ripping through middle-class entrepreneurs while big businesses get bigger at their demise. Still others die from poisonous fake vaccine reactions that are yet to have reached its latent lethality. COVID has nothing to do with infectious disease. It was a dry run for societal control and it went smashingly well for the bad guys. Those who did not comply have been IDs and will be taken out in the first purge to come. The ATF is on a tear to gut the Second Amendment in order to enable America's jackboot thugs roll into every neighborhood and declare martial law. Orwellian parallels are no longer needed. 1984 is here with the government's new Ministry of Truth. Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, you have been warned. You will tone down your comedy. With the exception of our material wealth, you need to recognize that the United States is nothing more than a powerful banana republic, not a constitutional republic anymore. There are some states fighting back. The most visible are Texas and Florida, pushing back against Washington, reminding them the U.S. is a republic, not a democracy. During the so-called pandemic, we saw blowback from states like South Dakota and others. On the other side, states like California, Oregon, Michigan, New Jersey, New York are at war against their citizens as well. Large metropolitan areas like Chicago, Los Angeles, and Baltimore are allowing crime to run rampant against its citizens. We're at war now. Look around you. Some cities have been long at war with the federal government as sanctuary cities by refusing to enforce immigration laws. We have individuals within all agencies of government undermining the very institutions they work for. As commander-in-chief, President Trump was never able to get the military to follow his orders to withdraw American soldiers from Syria and Afghanistan. The military was quick, however, to launch cruise missile attacks on Syrian forces after a bogus chemical attack report. Another example is the recent leak of the upcoming SCOTUS decision regarding Roe versus Wade. Coincidentally, that was just what the opposition needed to energize its base right before the midterm election so they would forget about inflation, a stagnant economy, 401k losses, and another endless war. There's no hoping something is going to happen, is going to change and get back to normal. We are never going back to the way it was. The Rubicon has been crossed. If you are old enough to remember, things haven't been normal for over 30 years. Nothing and nobody are on the horizon that will bring back normalcy as defined by political, social, religious, educational, institutional, and economic stabilities that once defined America as a once great nation. There is no white knight just waiting over the horizon. Neither is there a Black Panther waiting in the wings. V hasn't been since the movie. If you're basing your hopes on rhinos regaining Congress or big hair turning things around, you are indulging in wishful thinking. You have to make a decision on what to do right now, and you have to act now, because you don't have time for long introspection. A civil war is at your door, and if you don't hear it rumbling down your street, that's because you're not listening or have your head in the sand. If you are in denial or paralyzed with apprehension, I guarantee you that everything that you hold dear will be taken from you. If you act now, there may be a chance to save our great nation and our great faith and protect those you love. I said earlier that we are in an unusual time, if not an unprecedented time in American history. Not only are we in the beginning of a U.S. government incited civil war, we're in the middle of a worldwide revolution. Those in power in the U.S. are not the leaders of the two political parties. It's not Let's Go Brandon either. The world's leaders and Americans' puppeteers are transnational corporations and their political allies of all stripes throughout the world. They are beyond government's control or influence. They have bought out all opposition. They're beyond national army subjugation. They even manipulate national armies for their own ends. Besides, they have their own private armies of former SF members as contractors to supply shock treatment when needed. They have no culture beyond replacing all cultures with a new world culture and taking all the bounty for themselves. Lenin's song, Imagine, is coming true, albeit in a nightmarish form. Western culture is currently in the above-mentioned hegemon's crosshairs, but that is just the beginning of their goal to destroy all the world's cultures. Its process is similar to China's Mao attacking the four olds. Old ideas, old culture, old habits, and old customs. That was the basis of this great cultural proletariat revolution, cultural revolution, that destroyed 5,000 years of Chinese culture. Today, when I speak to Chinese and tell them I studied the cultural revolution, they will not discuss it as they know it was their cultural genocide. The Chinese culture of today bears little semblance to the previous five millennia. The pattern we see working in America today was used by the Chinese in the cultural revolution. The first step in the cultural revolution was what we call political correctness. Today, which then morphed into the stifling of free speech. Then they ostracized malcontents, like deplatforming today, instituted diversity requirements, indirect government enforcement was done with the emergence to young students and thugs known as the Red Guards, similar to today's BLM and Antifa. They roamed the streets, beating and killing people who believed in or represented one of the four olds. This chapter of China's playbook was taken from another socialist movement, the Nazi brown shirts in pre-World War II Germany. The Cultural Revolution quickly got out of control with the Little Red Guards, as they were called, implementing a reign of terror not unlike the French Revolution, where the revolutionaries' reign of terror began to turn on their own. A young French artillery officer, Napoleon Bonaparte, put down put it down the French reign of terror. Likewise, Mao became frightened with his position, threatened by what he had unleashed. He called on the PLA to crush the movement. These kinds of violent mob mentality movements are only stopped by force. In the situation in America today, there are numerous steps one must make to prepare for the war raging around us. The first one is the decision itself. What are you going to do? In one sense, you have to consider yourself as already being dead because you may die. You must consider that this is the price you might pay. Will you put yourself in harm's way? This isn't a video game where you get spawned over and over again. This isn't a game. If you are a Christian and you walk with Christ, you have to abandon your old selfish interests. In a sense, you have to die to yourself. When Christ comes into our lives, changes us, redeems us with his blood and his resurrection power, then the wreck we once were has now passed away and we rise to a new life, a new heart, a new light, a new direction, and a new way. By understanding that precious blood was shed for our redemption, we can relate to those before us who spilled their blood so we may be free today in America. But that sense of sacrifice is slipping away and is being replaced by self-interest and greed. If you tremble with fear, stay home. Don't answer the bell. You are not needed. In Judges 7:1, God told Gideon, now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear, turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left with only 10,000 remained. Then Gideon pared it down further to further 300 men. As it turned out, Gideon defeated an enemy that vastly outnumbered his men without having to fight. We see this principle again in Shakespeare's play, Henry V, where Henry gives the famous Band of Brothers speech as he faces numerically superior army, enemy. When Henry's cousin suggested they send for more troops back in England, Henry said, the fewer the men, the greater the share of honor. That he which hath no stomach for this fight, let him depart. We will not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. From this day to the ending of the world, we shall be remembered. And gentlemen in England now in their sleep shall think themselves accursed that they were not here and hold their manhoods cheap. Therefore, if you want to enter this fight, consider yourself as dead already and do not worry about dying for those you cherish. I am not asking you to die for your country. To paraphrase General George Patton, I am asking you to make that other SOB die for his usurpation of your rights. I am asking you to fight for your liberty. Now prepare yourself accordingly. Secondly, you need to know your enemy, who you are fighting and how they fight. When General George Patton defeated the famous German general Erwin Rommel, called the People's Marshal by his countrymen, but called the Desert Fox by his adversaries, while standing on the smoking battlefield, Patton supposedly said, I read your damn book, Rommel. There will be no reconciliation with your enemy in the coming confrontation. It will be you or them. And you better make sure it's you, because it's not just for you. It's for your family, your loved ones, everything that you hold dear, everything that if you survive, you want to go back to. It's not about some self-doubting, seeing the humanity in the face of the enemy and having second thoughts like the crap you see in Hollywood movies. Whether you know it or not, you're in the middle of it right now. So what are you going to do? If you choose to be a warrior, be fearless. Overcome your enemy and do not look over your shoulder and second guess anything that you do. It's not about fear. Everyone's afraid. I'm afraid. But you can have courage. But I don't have courage, you say. That's normal. Just know courage is fear that has said its prayers. When you make this important decision to prepare for the attacks against you, there's not going to be some dramatic patriotic music playing in the background and a blast of French horns. If you're fortunate, you will make your decision in the quiet. Whatever decision you make should be confirmed. If you're unlucky, you'll have voices pulling you in different directions. The U.S. government is at our doorsteps. You will have to give an answer to your family. You're going to have to answer to the man in the mirror. And most importantly, the man upstairs about your decision. I am reminded of the dire situation in the Bible that the Jews faced during the Babylonian captivity. There was a secret plot where the king had been manipulated into signing an edict that would result in all the Jews being killed. The conflict was caused by one Jew, Mordecai, who refused to bow to King Xerxes' highest servant, Haman. Mordecai's faith would not allow him to bow to any man. It's kind of like refusing to wear a mask and bowing to the science of today. Mordecai had a beautiful cousin named Esther who had access to the king, but only upon invitation. To approach the king when not summoned risked certain death. Mordecai told Esther, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. I urge you not to make your decisions based on what somebody else tells you or what you think somebody thinks. Make your decision from your heart. It will be the most selfish decision you'll ever make. but it will also be the most unselfish decision you ever make also. Someday, somebody may ask you what you did. What did you do during this time? What are you going to say? In the above Bible story, Esther took courage, went to the king, saved her family and all her tribe from certain death. Meanwhile, the person plotting the genocidal deed, the man named Haman, was ordered by the king to be impaled on the very pole he had set up for Mordecai's death. That's courage. Let's let today's haters of liberty fall into the holes they have dug, be ensnared in the traps they set, and impaled on the devices they planned for others. The reality we face is honestly about what do you really care about? What are you willing to do about the current brewing situation? What action steps are you going to take? Now is the time for action. Do you think Antifa and BLM are sitting around sipping lattes and drinking Four Roses? Who are you going to call when shit hits the fan? Will there be anyone there to answer? You could be the person on the other end of that call. Who knows? Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. I wanted to read this to you guys this morning because I think it's important and I think we're there. This is not in any way to be mistaken as a call for violence, but we all have decisions to make. I have a decision to make. Vince has a decision to make. Josh has a decision to make. Our families, our loved ones, our friends, all of us have a decision to make. And I'm going to be very bluntly honest with all of you. I am not so stupid as to think that me sitting here talking to all of you about what's going on and sharing my opinions isn't making me a target. I have a young son. I have a husband. I have a mother. I have family. I have friends. And I know that this has the potential to make me a target. If I'm not on a list, I probably will be at some point. And maybe at some point, this will cost me my life. But I still have that choice to make. And right now, this is me fighting for my country. This is me taking that chance because I care about all of you. And I care about this country and I care about saving this country. And my opinions may not be the right ones. And they may not be accurate all the time. But I'm going to do everything that I can to save and protect this country that I love and my fellow countrymen, even if it means becoming a target, because it's that important. And you know what? If I die in this battle, then at least I hope that someone will stand up and take on that battle for me so that my son will know true freedom when he grows up. And I'll know that I've died with honor.
Beautiful. Thank you for that share. Wow.
And I know that we ran really over, and I'm sorry. It was longer than I thought.
It was well worth it, Andrea. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you guys want a copy of that article, we'll post it here after the show on redpills.tv.
Share it with people. I mean, this is one of those things that even if you're not I know it's got religious references in it. Even if you're not religious, it's really easy to disregard that portion of it. It's the message that's in there that is really important. And if you've got people that you're trying to red pill that just won't swallow it and they're kind of like the cat that keeps spitting the pill back up, Share this article with them and maybe they will see, and maybe it'll plant that seed, because we all have a decision to make, and this may be the hill that we die on. It may very well be the hill that I die on. And
yeah, I think a lot of us have made our decisions too and won't falter.
Yeah. And if this is the hill I die on, like I said, at least I'll know that I have died with honor. Not that I'm looking for death and, you know, not that I'm suicidal, because I'm not. But I'm willing to fight. And my red line has been crossed.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I don't think there's any need for violence. I think that my words are more powerful than any weapon out there.
Good point. Beautiful. Thank you, Andrea. I think a lot of people are loving it. Me, Brenda, thank you for donating. She donated a diamond. Oh, she says, you. Beautiful speech, Andrea, heart and claps. that is after me, Brenda, also donated four ice creams before that. Thank you, Brenda, for supporting us over there on DLive. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Glad you liked it. Thank you so much. All right. What do you say we get through? How do you want to go about the rest of it? You want to go?
I know that we can just kind of, I think most of everything else that I have is pretty much just headliners.
Do you want to run through them or do you want to save them for?
I don't know. Let's ask everybody. What do you think? Give us a thumbs up if you want us to continue, or a thumbs down if you want us to hold off.
Yeah, do you want more? Do you want more, or do you want to go on to the rest of your days? Let us know.
And yeah, we can save them for tomorrow, too.
Yeah, we will listen to the people. Let us know. Continue or not. Thumbs up, thumbs up. Let us know in the chats. Continue or not.
Yeah. Don't be shy. Show us a thumbs up or thumb. It's not going to hurt our feelings if you put a thumbs down. Like, it's not going to hurt my feelings at all.
Continue. Either way. Thank you. Continue. They want more. Okay, we're going to do it. Polls are closed.
All right. But you can keep voting if you really want to. Continue. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate all the kind words.
So, Elon Musk's mother tweeted, "That is not funny." In response to Elon Musk tweeting out, "If I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing ya."
What a horrible thing for a mother to have to see, but you know, it's really true. And do you know what's causing this tweet or what?
Yeah.
What brought it about? You should tell everybody.
Well, Elon Musk is apparently the new enemy number one to the left because he's buying Twitter. Is that what you're implying? Wait, what?
No, so Russia actually came out and threatened him because he offered Starlink to the Ukrainians.
Oh, okay. So you think that this was in response to them? I did see that article. Yeah. Interesting. Threatening from Russia, Curly. Yeah, wow. I didn't know those things were directly related or I didn't make the connection.
But I do think that the left, I think it does play a part into it. And honestly, I mean, he has to know Hillary Clinton's background. So
this is what another thing he tweeted was, he said the word Nazi doesn't mean what he seems to think it does. And he clipped this article. It's been translated from Russian. And it says, from the testimony of the captured commander of the 36th Marine Brigade of the Armed Forces of Ukraine, Colonel Dmitry Kormyankov, it turns out that the internet terminals of Elon Musk's Starlink satellite company were delivered to the militants of the Nazi Azov Battalion and the Ukrainian Marines in Mariupol by military helicopters. According to our information, the delivery of the Starlink equipment was carried out by the Pentagon. Elon Musk, thus, is involved in supplying the fascist forces in Ukraine with military communication equipment. And for this, Elon, you will be held accountable like an adult, no matter how much you'll play the fool. Oh my gosh. So that is why Elon said, if I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing you.
Yeah. You know, the funny part about it is he's got enough money that he could hire the best security in the world.
Of course. He probably has a food taster.
And I hope that he does hire the best security in the world. I mean, he's not my most favorite person. Honestly, none of these rich people are, but because I question all of their motives.
And did Starlink's satellites actually make it to the Nazi Azov battalion?
I don't know. He deployed that for the Ukrainian people.
That's what I
was his intent originally. So I think there's some propaganda going on there. My guess is that the Azov benefited them roundaboutly. I don't think that was like his intent. I think honestly, if I had to guess, I would say that maybe he knew that things weren't as they seem and was hoping to provide internet to get information out of Ukraine that was accurate from citizens who were in Ukraine, because that was his intent, was to provide internet service to the Ukrainian people, not the Azov. So there's two different things. The Ukrainian people are being held hostage, basically, and being used as shields for this Nazi regime that has got a control of their country. Like, I sincerely believe that for the most part, most Ukrainians are in the same situation that we are, where they're being held hostage by a corrupt and tyrannical government. You know, I think that there are a lot of Ukrainians over there who probably do support the Nazis. Like, we have the left here. They've got it there, too.
Right. Interesting.
I think that's
A good
take. Pretty standard for most countries at this point.
Did you see this, Dinesh?
I did not.
So the 2000 Mules documentary came out, and a lot of the data they discussed was from pinpointing cell phone data.
Geo-tracking.
And Dinesh D'Souza tweeted out, he keeps reading, he said, quote, "I keep reading fact checks by Associated Press and PolitiFact that say cell phone geo-tracking is not very precise or accurate. Here's the New York Times on how it pinpoints a person's exact location." So they're saying, they're trying to discredit the 2000 Mules data. However, New York Times happened to publish an article that says a single dot appeared on the screen representing the precise location of someone in President Trump's entourage at 7:10 a.m. It lingered around the grounds of the president's Mar-a-Lago club in Palm Beach, Florida, where the president was staying for about an hour. And look, this little tiny, what is that? It's this dot that represents just, I don't know, 100 square feet or something. It's like, they are precise, they are accurate. When it's something that fits their agenda, it's accurate. When it's something counter to their agenda, it's inaccurate. You know what I mean? So, that was interesting. Onward here. Why America fails to commemorate victory over the Nazis while Russia still celebrates. Russia is still celebrating their victory over Nazi Germany. May 9th is the day the Germans surrendered to the Allies with the Russians at the table. Why do you suppose that this is still a hallowed event in Russia while the vast majority of Americans ignore the end of Nazi Germany as something worth commemorating? So yesterday, Russia was celebrating their victory over Nazis from World War II. And I believe they had a big parade. The answer lies in history. If you ask an educated American who has some grasp of history about the bloodiest battles U.S. troops have fought, the top three are the Battle of Gettysburg, the American Civil War, the Battle of the Bulge, and Iwo Jima. But I believe that 99% of that lot don't know how many actually died in the battle. I think you'll be surprised by the number of fatalities they go and talk about these wars. It's interesting that Russia is celebrating this victory day.
I just wanted to point out real quick.
Yeah.
So on these numbers, just to give you an idea, you've got, where do you go? So the Battle of Iwo Jima, or excuse me, the Battle of the Bulge, there were 19,276 people killed. And in Normandy, which was our largest battle, there was 29,204 killed. What people don't understand is that in Stalingrad, an estimated 478,741 Soviet personnel were killed. Mm-hmm. And then there were a further, in 1942, at the end of the war, there was an additional 139,586 that were killed or missing in action. So you're talking, and the one thing that it does bring up here is that immigration plays a part in this because America has always been a nation of immigrants and illegal or illegal. So the number of people that it really affects in the U.S. is smaller by percentage, strictly because of the fact that we're a melting pot and Russia is not. You don't see a lot of immigration in and out of Russia. And so the number of families that have been touched by, in comparison, is still very high. So So year by year, the number of people that get that are touched, you know, in the U.S. just gets smaller, because we're a nation of immigrants. It's not like that in Russia. And so it's still felt very, very deeply over there.
Wow.
I thought that was kind of important to throw out there.
Yeah, it's great. A. Allen said, A. Allen, God wins, gifted a can. Sumter 53 gifted the phone. Yes.
Oh, they're wanting us. They were wanting us to continue. I think.
This oh, thank you, Sumter.
Thank you. We appreciate
it. I was like, they're agreeing with us on something, but yes, we will continue.
we're almost through our stuff.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry, I had to step away for a minute.
All good.
Yeah, this was funny. Joe Biden, Justin Trudeau, U2's Bono, and The Edge visit Ukraine on the same day. Bono, sorry, I don't know. I'm terrible. U2 was not ever one of my most favorite bands.
They're garbage.
You know, it's funny. You've got so the first thing is that Joe Biden hides in the White House and does a virtual G7 summit, right? While his wife goes to this war-torn country that, you know, and meets with Zelensky's wife. And then you've got Justin. Huh?
That was random.
Right? Then Justin Trudeau also showed up. And now you've got musicians and stuff that are also, you're sitting there going, okay, well, wait a minute. If the country is so bad and so war-torn and they need so much money, their economy is so bad and they've lost everything, then why are these people going if it's so dangerous?
I think Jill Biden had some laundry to do. Also.
Oh, Jill Biden definitely had a lot of laundry to do. She's probably sitting there, great, I got to take care of this demented old man and his crackhead son that's not even hers.
She does not look happy.
Yeah, she's something else. And to send his wife over there on Mother's Day, you know, a war-torn country on Mother's Day, and you're going to send your wife. Yeah, every husband does that, right?
This is weird. Yeah, right. He did. He probably didn't even know where she was.
No, probably not. He's like, "Where's my bedpan, nurse?" She's like, "I'm not your nurse. I'm your wife."
He thought his nurse was Jill.
Yeah. Weekend. He's like, "Doctor, doctor."
Taliban orders Afghan women to wear head-to-toe coverings in public.
They're also telling them that unless they have extremely important business, that they need to stay home. And they're no longer going to allow girls to go to school past the sixth grade. You know, because that's what freedom looks like.
Oh, geez.
It's terrible.
Wow. Radical.
Yep.
All right. Last but not least, y'all.
This was just bullet points if you want to hit the bullet points on it.
Yeah, The Psychology of Manipulation, Six Lessons from the Master of Propaganda. Number one, if you manipulate the leader of a group, the people will follow.
True story.
Wow. Number two, words are powerful. The key to influencing a group is the clever use of language, a.k.a. neuro-linguistic programming, eh?
Yep.
Three, any medium of communication is also a medium for propaganda. Wow. Reiterating the same idea over and over creates habits and convictions. Five, things are not desired for their intrinsic worth, but rather for the symbols that they represent.
100%.
Wow. Number six, one can manipulate individual actions by creating circumstances that modify group customs.
Yep. I would read that last paragraph.
The propaganda playbook. The world is a volatile place right now. Things seem to change quickly, and no one knows what might happen next. However, amid all this chaos, there's one thing that has not changed and is unlikely to change anytime soon, and that is human psychology. Because of this, the tactics used to manipulate people's thoughts, beliefs, and actions have not changed either. In fact, most of them were outlined in detail 100 years ago by Edward Bernays in his 1928 book, Propaganda. That's right. The Puppet Master's Playbook isn't a secret. It's right there, freely available to anyone who cares to understand how the powers that seek to be influenced, that seek to influence them on a daily basis. So being aware of how psychology works and how they manipulate society, and I love the picture they used. This is the art that was popular during Obama's reign and election. Or at least it's very similar to it. And this was a huge part of the propaganda campaign to elect the master of words, Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, and look at it. You can see it. Right wing denies science right there in the headlines on there. Wow. Are we something the planets? Oh, probably destroying the planets.
Yeah.
Global warming. Along those lines. Yeah. It's all propaganda. And, you know, most people don't even realize that they're victims of it.
Yeah, and understanding how it works. Literally, it could be right in front of your face happening to you, and you won't see it unless you are aware of what you're experiencing or you're paying attention. Mm-hmm. But this happens every day. It's in media. It's in politicians coming out of their mouths. It's coming from salespeople. It's coming from anything, like they said in there, anything that can communicate information to you can be utilized to brainwash you or manipulate your consciousness, if you will.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
We've done shows on this for sure, on Makes You Think, and probably and several shows. Absolutely. Yeah. Any last parting words for the wonderful people, all the Red Pill family out there?
Just know that we love you guys, and you know, it's time for us to finally come together and find our way in this world and come up with our plan. And don't be hesitant, you know, make your decisions, make them well, make them for you. But like I said before, this doesn't mean that we have to become violent or be violent or promote violence. No. We're not the left. People that promote violence and stuff like that, they really are digging their own hole. Let them dig it. We don't have to participate. We don't have to consent to that. There's a right way to go about doing this.
Yeah.
We just have to stand strong in doing it, because you know what? Taking the high road has never been easy.
No.
But it is worth it.
Well said. Make sure you all tune in tonight at 5:30 Pacific for the Daily Dose with Joshua Reed. And we appreciate that. Subscribe on our audio podcast wherever you get your audio podcast, Apple, Spotify, etc. You can listen to us on the go, all of our shows, including Josh's radio show Dark to Light, which is fantastic. There's also the Mars Chronicles on there and everything else, Fringe, Makes You Think, this show. So download the audio, follow us there, and like and share that for us. It's greatly appreciated. The numbers are doing great there, so we really appreciate all of you who are there listening, commenting, and enjoying the content there and everywhere else. Make sure you subscribe if you're on Clout Hub, Rumble, DLive, etc. We really appreciate that, and thank you for hitting those Rumbles this morning. Greatly appreciated. All of you take care. We'll be back again tomorrow at the same bat place, same bat time, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, for more morning coffee with you. We'll see you around, everybody. Take care. Thank you.
Bye, guys.